Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him all of ye heavenly hosts. Praise him Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. As we come this morning to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this great resurrection morning, I want to say to you, I've come to not tarry alone, but to encourage you and to let you know that he still lives. I came to let you know that I don't know what it's going to be, but God has the whole world in his hands. I come this morning to encourage pastors and parishioners to thank those who are on the front lines, God, putting their lives on the line, first responders, doctors and nurses and police officers and firemen and all those who try to make this world safe. But we do know that we cannot do it without the Lord. So even though I come now saying this is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it in Jesus' name. All of those who are able, I want you to turn your hearts and your minds to the Lord. Father, as we come now, God, to give you glory, to thank you, Father, for all that you have done. If it had not been for you, God, who was on our side this morning, Lord, where would we be? I come this morning, God, to thank and to greet all those who are Facebook Live, God, as we do church, God, not as usual, but we thank you, Lord, that nothing can hold you back. We thank you, Lord, as you travel by the power of your Holy Spirit from home to home, from heart to heart, from breast to breast, blessing those who may be at home, blessing those who may be on the job, blessing those who may be on the road, God. We thank you, God. We love you, we honor you, and we praise you. And we ask you, God, to move this morning. We ask you, God, to look on our hearts, anything in us that's not like you, Father, that you will remove it right now in the name of Jesus. Bless and strengthen your people. Bless and strengthen your preachers this morning, Father. For we love you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. The faithful of God, touch your heart and say amen. And at this time, we call on Minister Jeff Cook and ask him if he would come and give us a scripture reading. And we will tarry on.
Good morning, Watchers Grove Church family, saints, friends, those of you that are here, local, around the world, to all of you that can hear the sermon this day, for the Lord has given our pastor to give to you on this wonderful Easter day, the day that he was risen. For those of you that have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. And we'll read until the Spirit says stop. The first day of the week cometh, Mary Magdalene early. When it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, she seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have taken him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciples, and they came to the sepulchre. So they ran back together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooped down, and looking into in, and saw the linen clothes lying, yet when he not went in, not he. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeing the linen clothing locked there, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes. He wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciples, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. They saw and believed. For as yet they knew not well, not the sepulchre, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus was laid. And they say unto her, Women, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to the brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. That is the word of God for the people of God. I have read John chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. May the Lord add a blessing to his read word.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. People of God, beloved, right now we're going through some difficult and unusual times. But it's okay. As the song says, God's got the whole world in his hands. Nothing happens without his knowledge. Nothing happens without his will. For he allows some things to come upon us for a purpose. And the purpose and the reason, we don't know. And we don't need to know everything. But all we need to know is that he's in control. Have faith and believe that whatever is going on, he knows and he's got it. Just believe. Let me pray right now for a moment. Father, oh gracious Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. For your word says, when two or more gather together in your name, there you are in the midst. So Father, though we are few here right now, we are many, and we have come together in various places. So we know, Father, that you are with us, because you are omnipresent. You are everywhere at once, and we thank you. We thank you for your precious son, Jesus, who sacrificed his life that we could have life. For as the word says, there is no greater friend, no greater love. He showed how much he loved us. So let us in turn do the will of the Father, which is what he has come to show us to do, and show him our love that we have for him. The Lord, let us be with you, abide in you, live in you, do as you would have us to do. As your word says, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself and pick up your cross daily. For let us walk in love, in harmony, and in unity. For though there are many different divinations of religion, whether you're a Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Holiness, Holy, Pentecostal, United Church of Christ, we all believe in one God, for there is only one God. Let there be no division between us. This is not a time to have division, but to come together in unity and let the world know that we are God's children. We are a peculiar people. We are ambassadors of Christ. For we stand for him boldly, letting everyone know that no matter what, Christ loves us. God loves us. He is with us always. And we thank you right now for everything that you've done, Almighty God. We thank you for what you have done in the past, what you're doing in the present, and what's coming in the future. For you know what's coming, and we don't, but we trust you that you've got everything in control. In Jesus' holy and mighty name, we thank thee and we pray. Amen. And for our Archers Grove family, just a little tidbit of information. We're going to put on the website email address, and we ask each and every one of you to email your personal email address to that email address. And once you do that, we will create you a church email address for Archers Grove. And we will begin sending out programs each week prior to the beginning of the service so that you can go along with the program and know what's going on. Thank you for all of your participation ahead of time. We know all of you love us, and we love you.
As we come this morning, I invite your attention to the Gospel of St. Luke, 24th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. Get your Bibles, your iPhones, iPads, whatever. That's Luke's Gospel, 24th chapter and the 13th verse. These are the words of Dr. Luke. Says now that, verse 13, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor of Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But he had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since it all took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish are you and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And began with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what said in all scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it and began to give it to them. Their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures?' They got up and returned to Jerusalem." I want to speak to you from a brief moment today. What does the church say now? What does the church say now? Church, I urge you this morning that we've all heard news. We've all heard what the preponderance has to say on the different news medias about the viruses, and while the virus is going on, we still have shootings, and we still have human trafficking. Even though things are shut down, we still have abuse. We still have storms lurking out over the ocean on the way here, and people are unemployed, and people are struggling. And now we've been in quarantine so long, people have begun to get restless, and people have begun to get angry and violent. Amen. But now, what does the church say? So I'm not going to stand here and give you numbers of a pandemic or a virus, because you've already heard that. I'm not going to stand here and tell you what I think we ought to be doing, because I really don't know. I would just encourage you, like I did before, to be smart. I encourage you now, don't worry about the church, because the church is still going to stand. I will tell you this before I go to the text. I believe that the church is not going to be like it was before. All of the things that we were doing that were man-made of social construct, now the Lord has spoken, he has silenced us, he has sent us to the upper room, he has sent us home so that we can fast and pray and grow close to him. Now we have to find out what it's like to not only come to church and leave those behind who are unsaved at the house, leave the undelivered at the house. Now we are at the house to live by example and preach the word of God that we say that we believe. Now we can't send our children to school. We have to sit down and teach them manners and teach them about the things of the world and teach them how to act when they leave the house this time and teach them the word of God that they would have an anchor of their soul. But this morning, we still believe in the church, even though people said that in the church, we would be in the church by Easter and the church would be packed out. That's what we said. And I so miss y'all, Archer's Grove. I so miss your church. I so miss rubbing hands with you, being face to face with you. I so miss praying for you. I so miss you praying for me. Amen. But I do know that the Lord is still in control. I do know that even if Reverend Thompson shows up in some of your situations, there's nothing that I can do about it. But I know a man that can take care of every situation, and he has this situation under control. So I ask you the question, what do we say now during a time like this? Well, let's go to the text and find out. So many people, like I said we were going to be in church as usual, but we're not. Some people are holding parking lot meetings, amen. But I tell you right now that the Lord will show up wherever you are. Where the Bible says where two or three are gathered, the Lord will be in the midst. So I tell Archer's Grove all the time that wherever I am, it is the church. It becomes the church, because when you talk about him, he shows up. Here in the text, you find out that he shows up. After Mary Magdalene and all of them went to the tomb, to the sepulcher, to find the Lord, they found out that the stone had been rolled away. And I'm telling you today that we have a stone in front of us. We have something in front of us that we can't move, something in front of us scientists are trying to figure out, preachers' voices have gotten silent, the government don't know what to do. But one thing about it, if you look at the text, it says that when they got to the sepulcher, that the stone had been rolled away. Amen, somebody. The stone had been rolled away. And when the stone was rolled away, it said then they realized what the Lord had said to them, that on the third day morning, he was going to get up. But as you read the text, some still did not believe. Amen. Some said they stole his body. Some don't believe in him today. Some said he's a good man. Some say he's a prophet. I came by to tell you today that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and no weapon formed against us, as long as you believe in him, shall be able to prosper. He's still the way to salvation. He's still the way to healing. He's still the way to deliverance. Here on the road to Emmaus, you find 2 in verse 13. It says that the two of them was walking to Emmaus about 7 miles from Jerusalem. What they were doing was they had seen Jesus on the cross. They probably had seen him traveling from court to court and seen him beaten and whipped and bloody and seen him say his 7 last sayings from the cross. I'm sure they saw the earthquake. I'm sure they heard the rumbling when the veil was rent from top to bottom.
And I'm sure that they had probably remembered some stuff that Jesus himself had said, that if you destroy this body or this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. But see, church, right now, you got to check yourself. Because church, we have been saying that the Lord will provide. We have been saying that the Lord can do anything but fail. And now the church have gotten silent and we act like that God has lost all his power. Let's see what happens in the text. It says that as the two of them are walking away, listen what I'm saying. They was in Jerusalem. They was in Zion. In our day, look, they was in church. You understand? They was with the Lord. But when trouble came, they ran away from Jerusalem and headed 7 miles away to Emmaus Road. And they began to talk to each other about what was happening. How many of us are talking today about what's happening? We know that the pandemic started in China, and when they was walking around with their mask on, we were still over here in freedom, wasn't we? And people were warning us that this thing was coming, but nobody wanted to listen. Amen. Preachers tell you every Sunday that we can that sin will kill you, but people still are not listening. Amen. But anyway, here it is. They are walking away from Jerusalem, and as they began to talk, Jesus shows up. Let's stop there and look at this word. If you would look back in the original text, that word, they talked about it or they discussed it. In other words, they got to arguing. Somebody told me that when you sit at the table, don't talk about religion and don't talk about politics, because it's going to lead to something you don't want to go in. Ain't that right? But in this text, they are talking. And they have all the answers probably. They probably explaining everything they saw and everything they did. And then Jesus shows up. Amen. Scripture 2, where two or three are gathered, the Lord said, I'll be in the midst. And the Lord shows up on the scene at the time. And he asked them, what are you talking about? Amen. And that's what I want to ask somebody today. Have y'all, today, I know we quarantined. But we are dealing with folk today. When you get a chance to go out to the stores, or if you're still going to your job and you listen to people talk, you don't know what they're talking about. The reason you don't know what they're talking about, because they don't know what they're talking about. But my Bible tells me that faith cometh by hearing this word of God, amen, and it will strengthen you. And so now Jesus shows up. Jesus said, what are you talking about? Then it said, Jesus himself came. Amen. That's a progressive pronoun. Jesus himself came up. And then he walked with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. That's my first point right there. When you get caught up in a situation and you forget about the fact that the Lord lives on the inside of you, and when he shows up in your situation, you won't even recognize that it's the Lord. Amen. But I don't get trouble. Let me help you with this text. They didn't recognize Jesus because Jesus decided that they need not recognize him at the time. Because y'all do know the Lord is the one who gives sight to your eyes, amen. And he can blind your eyes from what he don't want you to see. So he didn't allow them to recognize him. But if you go to the temple, they could not believe God. Together as you walk along. Then it says they stood still. Look at what it did. They stood still, and their faces were cast down at the ground. And one of them, Cleopas, asked, are you a visitor in Jerusalem, and you don't know the things that have happened in these days? Well, if you live in the world today, you don't have to have a smartphone. You really don't have to have a TV. People are talking so much, you already know what's going on in the world, that the pandemic is beginning to spread, amen, and we don't know when we're going to get back to church, but we know we have to operate and act like we know what the church is all about, amen. And not only that, we have to encourage people along the way, amen. We have to love our neighbors. See, these are some things that we should have already been doing, but I'm asking you the question, what should the church be doing at this time? We shouldn't be talking about rhetoric. We should be talking about him, Jesus. Ain't that right? Yeah. Then it says, he asked them, what are you talking about? They stood still. They were looking sad. Their faces were cast down. And one of them, amen, Cleopas said, are you a visitor? But then Jesus always does this. We we already know the answer. Ain't that right? Sometimes you ain't have to tell people everything you know. Sometimes you have to retaliate and go back. Just let God handle the situation. The Lord said, what you talking about and what things are you talking about? And they said about Jesus. Look at what they replied. About Jesus, they replied. This is what they said about Jesus. This is what folk think about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They said that he was a prophet. Amen. Verse 19, he was a prophet. He was powerful in word, indeed before God and all the people, and the chief priests and the rulers handed him over. Ain't that right? So that's common news. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And look, and this took place on the third day. Amen. And I believe that they should have recognized him then, because he said that the third day I'm coming. This is 3 days later, and they still don't recognize who he is. I ask you the question, what should the church be doing now? The church should be believing in the Lord. The church should be trusting in the Lord. We don't need to play politics. We don't need to try to get folk to believe in the Lord, because he's doing that all by himself. When this thing is all over, people who didn't know God, they're going to run to God because they recognize that they need God. Amen, somebody. So they gave up and they're on the way home. Jesus is talking. Funny thing happened that they said that the body of Jesus was gone from the tomb. They go on to say that the angels visited and that he was alive. They went on to say that they had heard the witness of the women who had came to say to them that he did not see. And he said to them, how foolish you are. Mm-hmm. The church ought to be listening, because we have gotten foolish. Amen. It says that, but how are you to believe what the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah, did not him, Jesus, tell you that he would suffer and enter the glory? Amen. Where are the other apostles? Where are the other apostles that walked with Jesus? These two were men who was outside the inner circle. These two were some other than the 11, because Judas is gone, because he has hanged himself. But these are just two believers that have seen and heard about the Lord. They are fishing around the pond. And then it says that at the beginning, he began to preach. He began to explain. Church, this is what we got to do. We got to begin to talk about the Lord and explain the Lord, not by how we think and not by what we feel, but what does the scripture say about him? He began to talk to them from Moses to Malachi, from Genesis to Malachi. He began to tell them who the Lord is. He began to tell them. Psalm 2 talked about the servant of the Lord who was going to be on the cross, and dogs were going to be all around him, wagging their tails, robbing him of his divinity. He began to talk about Isaiah 53, the suffering servant who was by our transgressions, bruised by iniquity, and by his stripes we were healed. I believe he began to talk about those things. Then he explained to them all the scriptures. Look, concern himself. Listen to me now. Don't talk about yourself, myself. Talk about himself. Amen. Talk about him. And when you talk about him in this intensive, reflexive pronoun, you would understand that he is God. Verse 28, as they approached the village, now they walked away from Jerusalem. Many of them to walk away from the church. This is my point on this one. We think the government shut the church down. No, they say you can still have it and have that social distancing, ain't that right? But it don't feel right because we can't do it as yet, right? But the thing is that the Lord is trying to show us something. The Lord is trying to tell us that even though we have walked away from the church, it is he himself who has made us leave the church, amen. And when he gets to open the doors of the church, how will you react when you come back to church? Will you still be the same way you were when you were here before, trying to rule everybody, not take care of your own house? Are you going to be the same way when you come back to the church, hard-hearted and bickering and fussing? But are you going to be glad that the Lord has risen and that you are alive and able to come to lift up holy hands and to thank him for what he has done in your life? Amen. Yeah, feeling good. And it says that as they that when he began to ask them this thing, He's telling them who he is. And he gets ready to leave them. They urge him to stay. I wonder how many, when you feel like the Lord is leaving you, do you urge him to stay? Do you go with you wherever you go and lead you, your footstep, your path, your decisions, cover your husband, your wife, your children? Do you ask God to be there? In of need, do you ask God when you're on top of the mountain? Do you still thank him for what you have? So then here he comes, says he decided to stay with them. And when he decided to stay, he was at the table with them. Yeah, at the communion table. Think about it. That we do miss communion now, though. Amen. We took communion when we was in church. Ain't that right? And somebody don't got to get the communion cup. Amen. And to eat that wafer and drink that blood, that wine, and remember what God has done for us. Jesus said to them, he began to sit down at the table. He took the bread and he gave thanks. Now that's for somebody, right? Who was in church, and every time somebody get up to pray, and a lot of times we have a pattern to our prayer. Everybody pretty much pray a certain way, amen. And we say, we know what Geek gonna say. We know what Reverend gonna say, amen. But the thing is, they are saying what they believe. Our Father, which art in heaven. I want somebody in here with me, because when Jesus began to pray, he took the bread and he gave it to them. It said, then their eyes were opened. That while he was praying, they said, this sure do sound familiar, amen. I believe that when he gave them the bread, amen, that they began to recognize who he was. But as I digress, before I go to my seat, I want to say to you, when he first showed up, their eyes were open physically, and they could see, ain't that right? But why could they see the crown of thorns or the crown that was on his head? When he started walking with them, it was daylight. The sun started going down, but they wore sandals back then. Somebody should have looked down and saw the holes in his feet. Amen, somebody. And if he like me, talking with his hand, somebody should have said, hey, what you doing with that hole in your hand? Amen. Hey, when he got in his place, and when he began to break that bread after he had prayed, the Bible said that he gave it to them, and they recognized him. And it said their eyes were open. I believe during this time somebody's eyes gonna get open. Preachers, we've been preaching till our throats got raw. Deacons been visiting them as long as they can, try to take care of their own self. Deaconesses and saints and everybody has been trying to help you. People have been taking doctors for granted, nurses for granted, fathers for granted. But now we realize that we need everybody. We both to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. This is about to happen. So now they believe. Y'all hear me now? Somebody say believe. Got a few of you in here. Somebody say believe.
Believe.
They believe. They believe. They believe. And then it said when they recognized who he was, he disappeared from their sight. Now, I don't really know what that means, but I believe that when the Lord died, they went back. They had to tarry in the upper room until the Holy Ghost came. Isn't that right? And now you can't see the Lord now. But people ought to be able to see the Lord as according to the church. Amen. When they see us, they're supposed to be like Jesus told Philip. When you see me, you see me. When you see me, you see. When you see to see the Holy Ghost. Oh man. It says, then one turned to the other. Do what he said to him, y'all. He said, our heart within us while we talk with each other on the road, and he opened the scripture. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you, what the church should be doing. The church has been, and the gospel have been going on deaf ears because we have been on a flower bed of Eve. But now the discomfort has come. Now that trouble has come. Men want to hear the word of God. People want to get back to church. People want to sing. I showed them Mr. Choir this morning. I showed them Mr. Hammond Organ this morning. I showed them Mr. Amen Corner this morning. With my deacons right there. Deaconesses over there. Trustees right there. Members in the back. I showed them miss y'all this morning. But is that when the eyes was open, Jesus walked away from them, and the others said, did not our hearts break? Now this right here, I'm going right here. So the question is, what should the church be doing right now? I'm glad you asked me that. Y'all so smart this morning. Look at verse 33. Look what they did. They got up and returned once again to Jerusalem. Listen to me. When God lifted this travel ban up, How many of y'all that like Deacon or Reverend Turner, Reverend slash Deacon, amen, who always say that he's concerned that people are not going to return back to the house of God because you're going to get comfortable in your house listening to folk live while you smoke a cigarette. Listen to the Lord eating your bowl of cornflakes in your pajamas or staggering in, drinking a Budweiser, listening to somebody preach the gospel. How are you going to? The Bible says they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem and they found the 11 and those assembled together. And this is what they say, and this is what the church do. You ought to go and tell somebody it is true. The Lord has risen. Do you hear me, church? This is what you're supposed to do. That the child, you're supposed to go back and say, it is true. The Lord has risen. I'm going to say it one more time before I get ready to leave. Y'all need to tell somebody who discredit who Jesus is. Who he is. Take for granted who he is. Y'all need to go tell somebody, it is true. He is risen. Amen. How you know, Reverend Thompson? I know because he walks with me. Because he talks to me. Yeah. I know because he takes his own. Yeah. I'm gone, church. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you until we meet again. What should the church be doing? Trusting in the Lord. Reading your scripture. Fasting and praying. Until we get it right. As we get ready to close,
now will your heart and soul say yes?
If there's one,
will your spirit still say yes?
We'll talk to you.
If I told you what I really need from you. Now will your heart and soul say yes?
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Now will your heart and soul say yes? Now will your spirit still say yes? Now will your spirit still say yes. Now will your heart and soul say yes. 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 So say yes.
Yes. Yes.
So say yes.
Yes.
So say yes.
Yes,
so say yes.
Yes, to the way
the
Lord. Yes.
So say yes.
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Open up your heart and say yes.
Yes. To leave this place, never from the presence of the Lord. He's all, he always, everywhere at the same time. He has all power in his hands. As we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, present us faultless for the throne of his grace with exceeding joy. To him belong the grace and power and dominion. In Jesus' name, we do ask it and count it done by faith. Let the faithful of God say,
Amen. Amen.